You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF. I'm Scott Lamar. First Friday on Smart Talk. This is First Friday when we devote the program to the arts and culture community in central Pennsylvania. A pop-up art show is scheduled this weekend at the Pure Gallery in Mechanicsburg featuring the works of renowned cartoonist Ron Campbell. You may not know his name, but you almost certainly are familiar with some of his work. The Beatles Saturday morning cartoon, part of the Beatles animated film Yellow Submarine. Scooby-Doo. Winnie the Pooh, the Jetsons, and the Flintstones. Ron Campbell died at the age of 81 earlier this year, but his creations live on. Scott Sigelbaum is the curator and art publisher of Ron Campbell Art, and Rose Anderson is the owner of the Pure Gallery in Mechanicsburg. I want to thank both of you for coming on the program with us today. Mr. Sigelbaum, let me start with you. First of all, I have to say that these cartoons bring back a lot of memories for many, many people. How did Ron Campbell become the artist for some of the most iconic cartoons that we've ever seen?
Well, it's interesting. When Ron was a little boy, he was in Australia, grew up in Australia, and he used to go to the films. And he was maybe 8 years old watching Westerns. And before the Westerns, they would have like Tom and Jerry cartoons. And he was fascinated. He'd never seen anything like that. And he couldn't figure out what they were. And when he went home and said something to his grandmother, she said, they're just drawings. And he had this childish epiphany. He thought, oh my God, I can make drawings that come to life. So he pursued that his entire life, went to art school. And then when he graduated art school, it was just at the time that television had debuted in Australia. And there was, for the first time, a need for animation through commercials and stuff. And he was at the right place at the right time and started working in literally 1958 and did a lot of work for King Features, started with Crazy Cat, Beetle Bailey, and then got the call about the Beatles cartoon.
So when you say that there was a lot of work available, you know, one of the things I took from his biography is that, you know, some of these cartoons, that they were all his, but that he contributed to others. Is that correct?
Well, he didn't create the cartoons. He was the one that actually made the cartoons. So in other words, he did different things on different cartoons. For example, on the TV Beetle cartoon, he was the director of it. Scooby-Doo, he did storyboards for the first year, and he also was part of the team that put the show on the air. Yellow Submarine, he did animation on. Other shows like the Smurfs and Rugrats, he worked 10 years each on each one of them, and he did the storyboards, which is basically the blueprint of the entire cartoon series. So he built the cartoon, but did not create Scooby-Doo, however worked on it.
So, from what you just described, he kind of did a little bit of everything.
Every single thing. He literally was at the golden age of animation from 1958 to 2008, 50 years of cartoons all through three generations of childhoods. And he even did script writing. He did virtually anything and everything to do with animation and cartoons he had his hand in for his entire career.
You described how it came up to the mid-60s and the Beatles Saturday morning cartoon. So how did that come about, and what did he do in working on the Beatles Saturday morning cartoon?
Well, the great story was he had had success with his earlier pieces, and Al Brodax had sold the Beatles on doing a TV cartoon series. So he called up Ron, and it happened to be the middle of the night in Australia. And he said, Ron, we just sold a new show that we'd like you to direct for us. And he said, that's great. What's the show? He said, it's the Beatles. And his first reaction was, insects make terrible characters for cartoons for children. He had no idea who the Beatles were. He literally, it was so immersed in animation and stuff, he just didn't get pop culture at all. But he soon learned who the Beatles were. And in those days, it was all about he got the voice tracks and the scripts, and he had to put together a final project on budget, on time, and getting it delivered. And the ratings were so huge for him that people thought, my God, this, you know, it must be Ron that was doing this, but actually it's really the Beatles that were the popular one. And he ended up moving to America. And as soon as he got to America, he started working on simultaneously Scooby-Doo, George of the Jungle, and Yellow Submarine. Not bad when he first moved to America.
No, that's not a bad lineup when you look at cartoons. So let's go back to the Beatles Saturday morning cartoon. I remember watching the program, but one of the things that was so cool at the time, and I remembered this because I looked at a lot of YouTube videos this week of the cartoons, is that how there would be a story. The Beatles would have some adventures or misadventures, and then there would be at least a Beatles song included in every one. It was kind of the precursor to the Monkees program, which wasn't animated, but so he had to work all those things in, right?
That's right. And they were all in a very shoestring budget. I mean, what he had to work with was so minuscule in terms of money. And interestingly, the Beatles didn't provide the voices on the cartoons. They didn't think American children could handle a Liverpool accent. So they had Americans pretending to be British doing the voices of the Beatles on it. But he would say when they were doing it, they do things like, it's called pencil mileage, how much they actually have to draw of the characters for each piece. And they had so little pencil mileage that there would be a scene where there'd be a frame or two where Paul would lose an arm. And they would sit and they would think, boy, to reshoot that's going to cost this much money. So they just let it go. So if you actually now with digital and look at the cartoons frame by frame, you may see all of a sudden one of the Beatles lose a leg or something because it was done on such a shoestring budget.
I had never heard that before. Well, then Yellow Submarine, of course, became iconic as far as an animated film of any animated film out there. Now, what parts of Yellow Submarine did Ron work on?
Well, interestingly enough, Yellow Submarine, the script for Yellow Submarine was completed when Yellow Submarine was completed. They literally had no idea what was going to happen. So they were writing as they were going on. And they had done this beautiful animation for all the music scenes, and had no idea how they were going to piece it together. So that's when Ron got involved and they called him up and he ended up doing the Sea of Time sequence where the Beatles get old and young again. He did all the animation of the Chief Blue Meanie, his sidekick Max, a lot of the Nowhere Man, a lot of the connecting scenes between the songs. So he kind of helped piece the movie together. And literally, I mean, when I say they finished the script on the last day of animation, they did. They had no idea. So if you actually sit and think about the plot of the movie, you'll see all kinds of holes in it because it was just, you know, it was a mess, but it worked.
When you say that Ron did the animation on, and you said Blue Meanies, that scene, what do you mean he did the animation?
In other words, that was his character. He did a lot of the scenes throughout the movie. It wasn't like he did, for example, Sea of Time, he did a full sequence, but in the movie, the Chief Blue Meanie part, and Max's sidekick, he would do the actual physical drawings. Now, when you're an animator, he would do the key drawings, and then he would do, you know, drawing one, drawing eight, drawing 10, and then the in-betweeners would do the drawings in between, and the in-betweeners and the in-betweeners would do those drawings. So he would basically do the main movements, and then they would get the in-betweeners to kind of, you know, fill in the rest.
Rosa Anderson, you're the owner of Pure Gallery in Mechanicsburg, where this exhibit will be this weekend. How did the exhibit come to be?
Oh, funny story. Scott sent me an email because Ron had been in here about 3 years ago. So Scott sent me an email trying to set up the show. I looked at it, read it, and thought it was spam. I mean, you know, somebody from outside the area with a major animator. So I thought it was spam and I deleted it. And luckily for me, Scott emailed me back and he called and I apologized profusely, but it was wonderful having Ron here in the gallery. He took so much time with each and every individual buyer. He would sit there and talk to them and they would tell him stories about what the characters meant to them and to their mothers and to, you know, people in their lives. and how it affected them. And it was so moving to hear all of that. And Ron was just so patient with them. Everyone fell in love with him that weekend. So again, Scott calls me and says, hey, you want to do another show? I said, yes, this time. He didn't have to call me back and email me three times. So yeah, it was perfect.
Well, Scott, just an aside, anytime you have an email nowadays where the words blue meanie are included, that may look a little bit like spam. But I know where you're coming from, Rose, because at least you looked at something, your antenna went up that, hey, is this real or not? So what can visitors expect to see?
We have all of the walls dedicated to Ron's artwork. The Beatles, Rugrats, Scooby-Doo, it's all here. We have some gold records with the smaller pieces of art. And what people are buying, except for the gold records, those would be bought purchased framed. People would be buying the limited editions on paper. And they can frame them now, they can frame them later, they can mail them away. It's easy to mail, you know, a paper away for a gift. But people coming in are going to see the full line of what's still available from Ron.
So, yeah, I didn't mention that part, that sales are a big part of this, that people can actually buy prints of this. Okay, give us an example. Prints of what? What can they buy?
Well, there's Beatles from the Ed Sullivan TV show. There's individual Beatle portraits. There's Beatles from their Liverpool days. It's quite a range. In fact, I've put some things on the wall behind me. I know the listeners can't see it, but Scott can.
Yes.
But I tried to get some things in here. It is truly the most colorful place in town this weekend. And the show will be here Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it's a full weekend of Beatles and other animation arts.
What are the hours and what's your address?
Okay, first of all, the address is 1410 Saxton Way in Mechanicsburg. I am in the new charter development called Arcona. And I'm directly across from the main restaurant. And you'll see the sign once you get here into the parking lot. The hours tonight are 4 until 8. Saturday, it's noon to 6, and Sunday, noon to 4.
Mm. So Scott, I have to ask, and I was going to ask Rose too, but what was Ron's favorite of all the work he did? Did he have a favorite?
It's funny. He gets asked that all the time. He goes, how do you differentiate between Angelica from the Rugrats and Smurfette or George Jetson to Fred Flintstone? He said he loves them all. But I do know the show that he was most proud of. I have to confess, it's a show I had never seen. It was called The Big Blue Marble. And it was his show. And it really showed as a worldwide show, and it had people in different cultures and how they interact and how they would go to school and they would set up pen pals with each other. And he took such great, he won a Peabody and an Emmy for that show. And that was the one he was most proud of. But I mean, it's amazing when you look at his career. I mean, he was the first animator on Sesame Street. I mean, I would be talking to him and he would just drop a line about, oh, this show that he worked on. I'm like, wait a minute. You never told me you worked on Yogi Bear. Wait, you know, and it was like all these different things. He did so much in his career. So
yeah, that is, like I said, some of the most iconic animations this country and the world has ever seen. Scott Sigelbaum is the curator and art publisher of Ron Campbell Art. Rose Anderson, owner of Pure Gallery, Ron Campbell exhibit this weekend at Pure Gallery Mechanicsburg. Thank you very much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Scott.